This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, June 5th, 2008. I'm Caleb Brown. The tragedies that have rocked Myanmar and China show how government responses vary in times of tragedy and what life under socialism might mean when tragedy strikes. Jim Dorn, editor of Cato Journal, says that we can minimize some of the risks associated with tragedies by adopting institutions that maximize individual freedom.
The response to a natural disaster like an earthquake depends upon two things. First, the initial wealth that people have, which is generally generated by the private sector. And second, the extent of a market and civil society, which are lacking tremendously in Burma or Myanmar, and less so in China since 1978, since liberalization. But it's typical that friends and neighbors and family will be the first responders, as well as private entrepreneurs who may be looking for a profit but are doing good at the same time.
You know, what's the record historically?
Well, I think if you look at George Horwich, who has written extensively on this, shows that economies that are market-oriented with private property rights, with the free flow of information, and with a vibrant market system, in which prices are free to move, have responded much faster than countries that are rigidly under central planning or a huge bureaucracy, lack of free flow of information, lack of private property. And certainly we've seen this with the response in Burma. China has done a much better job. They're more open now. They didn't react the way they did with the SARS problem, which occurred a couple of years ago, where they didn't tell anybody what was going on. In this case, there was much freer flow of information, a much more rapid response. And Japan, in particular, is a situation which Horwich looked at closely in 1995 when they had the Kobe earthquake. Japan, within a year, was back to pretty much normal in that area, which was astonishing. But it was due primarily because Japan was wealthy and mainly a market-oriented economy. He said it would have been even a faster response had it not been for burdensome regulations and also poor land use policies. So to the extent, I think it's safe to say that to the extent that a system is more open and more market-oriented, the response to disasters will be much faster and hence the overall damage much less. Now, you can look at San Francisco when they had the earthquake in 1989 as opposed to Soviet Armenia in 1988. In Armenia, there were 25,000 casualties. The earthquake of similar magnitude in San Francisco led to 67 deaths, and the response was much faster. So I think what Horwich was writing about, in fact, in the Cato Journal, back in 1990, and then later in other articles after 1995, is pretty much on target.
The issue of openness has really been drawn out by Myanmar, where you had a government that has taken almost active steps to keep international organizations and their aid, largely funded by wealthy countries, from getting to the people that needed it.
That's true. It's also true that a lot of times foreign aid, when it comes in, is not very well targeted. They don't know the local customs, the particular supplies and circumstances. And so oftentimes, even without government intervention in the distribution of the aid is not as much appreciated as cash. And also, if cash is directed towards reconstruction, it may be misdirected because you may not want people to reconstruct in hurricane-prone areas and so on. So a stipulation might be that they relocate in order to get the cash aid. Governments often never do that, and private agencies as well. But research has shown that to be the case. And of course, the overall level of safety is a function of of wealth. Wealthier economies are generally more safer economies than poor countries. And that's what we've seen in Sichuan in China, that the poverty is extensive in the rural areas where this basically hit. And one problem there is that the land is not privately owned. It's collectively owned. If the farmers in those areas could own the land and collateralize it, they'd be wealthier and they'd be able to build better structures and afford to build better schools. In fact, there's been corruption there, apparently. They weren't building the code, or the codes weren't enforced. So many children died as a result, which was tragic.
People watching the events unfold in China, and I guess trying to watch the events unfold in Myanmar, it's not necessarily intuitive that the private property rights or things like that are actually going to make these situations so much worse. It's difficult to actually get your head around that idea.
Well, I think, you look even in the United States in the coastal areas where they're prone to floods and so forth. People are generally wealthy, and if their dwelling is harmed by the floods, if they do rebuild, they're going to build more sturdily. However, the problem is that flood insurance has been subsidized by the federal government, so there's a moral hazard problem that people typically flow into areas that are attractive from a natural standpoint. And if there is damage, if they expect the government to cover part of it or subsidize insurance, there'll be more people there than otherwise. So when the next hurricane hits, the damage will be fairly significant. Katrina was a somewhat different situation. You had basically levees that were built on a substandard basis, not maintained properly. This was not a market failure by any circumstance. It was a government failure to provide safety and protection for the people there. And interesting, in Sichuan, where the schools did collapse, they're blaming the government officials for corruption and so forth, the local people. They're demonstrating. So I think, although it may not be intuitive, once you think about it, well-defined property rights, which create wealth, obviously increase the degree of safety, and markets allow people to act faster in terms of supplying things that are needed during an emergency. Yes, the price will go up, but if you control prices, there'll be huge shortages and the materials won't get there. So you can't have it both ways.
Jim Dorn is editor of Cato Journal. His op-ed, Disaster Protection, appeared in the South China Morning Post. This is the Cato Daily Podcast. Full event videos are now available in podcast form at cato.org.